celebrating the power of possibility. Heller and Hilton Hill presents
Anything is Possible Radio Edition.
Brought to you by Provision Cares Cancer Center, featuring proton therapy. One campus, one focus, cancer. Today's guest, Gordon Whitener, Part 1.
Welcome to Anything is Possible. As you know, these are great stories about great people whose lives prove possibility. My name is Halloran Hilton Hill, and my guest today is Gordon Whitener. Thank you for being here today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Hal.
Let's start with the hat.
It's, you know, there are pictures of me when I was a little boy wearing a cowboy hat. It's just something that's always been in my wardrobe. And as I've gotten older and cared less about what people think, I wear as much as I possibly can. So
let's go back to your childhood. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Dalton, Georgia, a couple hours down the road.
The carpet capital of the world.
It's a tremendous place to grow up.
What was it like growing up in Dalton?
It was really magical. The industry was on a tremendous ascend, and life there was just amazing. You know, it was a lot of growth, which led to great parks and recreation, you know, great school systems. Really, the community was very vibrant. So all of the things that you would hope for as a child growing up, I would say we were very fortunate to grow up there.
Tell me about your folks.
My mom and dad, you know, were very special. They're passed now, unfortunately. I lost my mom in 2010, and actually 2006, and my dad in 2010. My mother was truly a Southern, just beauty. She was amazing, always positive, taught me so many things in life. My dad he was born in 29, so came out of the Depression, so was very conservative, very tough at times, but very loving. And we had, I have a brother and sister. We had an amazing childhood. Now, I came along much later, which leads me to think I probably was an accident. But
me too.
But my brother's 10 years older, my sister's 8 years older. So I was my mom's little boy, just running around. She carted me everywhere. So
my sister is 9 years older than me. My father was born in 1923 in Chattanooga. So not too far away.
No, Rome, Georgia, for my parents. So
growing up there, were you an athlete?
I was. I was fortunate to have tremendous coaches growing up, and there's a lot of them are still very influential in my life. My thing was football and baseball. That was kind of, I did run some track, but football and baseball were my loves, and just had a, played at Dalton High School, and ultimately came, signed out of high school to play baseball here at Tennessee, and was terrible. Very well documented.
How do you define terrible?
Well, just bad. And when I got cut, I literally walked across the hall and started working for the Coach Majors and his staff, and just was an equipment manager starting out, and just sort of worked my way up until I coached in college a little bit later. So,
what did you imagine your life was going to be?
At that time, the only goal I had was to be a big-time college football coach, to be on a Division I college football staff. Since I was 8 years old, that was sort of my goal. Coaches had been so influential in my life. I loved just the camaraderie of sports, and football made it even better. I loved the football coaches. Really, from playing peewee football all the way up through high school, I was blessed just to have great men in my life that sort of kept me on a path.
What did being cut, though, do to you?
It was humbling. I mean, it was, you feel like you're letting people down. I feel like I let my coaches in baseball down. Certainly the guys that took a chance on, given what little bit of scholarship money I got from Tennessee. I felt like I let some people down for sure. But, fortunately, because of the life lessons that I had learned coming in there, again, from all these coaches and from my parents, and even my brother and sister, you just pushed through it, and it was a new day. I turned the page, and I can joke about it now, but it was painful for a while and embarrassing, but I moved on.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about being a page turner in life, because you've had to turn a few.
Absolutely.
This is Anything Is Possible.
Anything is possible.
This episode of Anything Is Possible is brought to you by ProVision Cares Cancer Center. One call, one focus, cancer. Call 844-455-8600 for more information.
This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Halloran Hilton Hill, and this is Gordon Whitener. And we left off in your story. You got cut from the team. You started working for Johnny Major's staff. The vision at that point was Division I college football coaching, and you're working for a legend.
Yeah, it was a tremendous experience just to be around. I used to kid when I was in the industry that, you know, Coach Majors was a tough guy to work for, a great guy to work for, but he was tough, demanding. And when you're young, that's exactly what you need. And so there was, you know, the 4 years I was here, there was a lot of turnover in the staff, which for a young guy was great because it just meant more contacts, more people that you got close to that went off to another school. And so by the time I graduated, we had a pretty good, you know, network of coaches that I could call on in the industry. And so it was, you know, he was, the things that I remember about Coach Majors vividly are, you know, he was, you know, always impeccably dressed. He told me one time that really came from his dad. His dad said you always should have a great sport coat, and Coach Majors had lots of them. And he, you know, just he was always on time, and you know, just demanding the best out of people. And so I took away a lot of that with me.
So after UT, what did you do?
So I was very fortunate. I got a break and was hired at Oklahoma State University to be a graduate assistant coach there, helping coach the receivers with a guy named Houston Nutt, who's a lot of people know around here. And Houston, a guy named Kevin Steele had coached here and become a very good friend of mine, and he had gone and gotten on that staff. So I was there with Kevin and Houston Nutt, and we had a tremendous staff. Larry Coker was there, former head coach at Miami. Brad Seeley was a legend and special teams in the NFL. So we just had it was just a bunch of young guys working hard, trying to get it done. We had a very good run there, as you know, with Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders. And of course, Mike Gundy, who's head coach at Oklahoma State, was our quarterback. So it was a good time. It was fun. And it was a great experience. I later was promoted to the full-time staff and became the recruiting coordinator at 22 years old. And so it was just a great, you know, great few years, and then I got a very surprising offer that took me away from football. So
we turned that page. What was that offer?
It's a crazy story. I mean, literally, you said carpet cap of the world. Here I am coaching at Oklahoma State, and the athletic director said, you know, you're from Dalton. Could you find us some carpet for the facilities? So, I had no idea. My dad was loosely associated with the industry, so I made a few phone calls and. And my search led me to a guy named Charlie Idle. And Charlie was an Oklahoma State graduate running a carpet company in Dalton, Georgia, go figure. And so I called him. I said, here's who I am, and here's what we're looking for. And he said, look, I'm going to make a speech on campus to the business school in a couple weeks. Let's have breakfast. So we sat down, had breakfast. I put this big pitch on him about how he needed to give us the carpet for the facilities, you know, for his alma mater, and this impassioned plea. And about halfway through my pitch, he said, look, I'm going to give you the carpet, but I want you to come work for me. That was I sat back. I really didn't know how to respond to that. Cause I said, look, I'm living my life's dream. Thank you, but just not interested. And he was a smart guy. He said, look, I tell you what, you're off next weekend. Because we had an off weekend. He said, why don't you fly home? I'll pay for it. You come see your mom and dad and just take a tour of the plant. And if you don't, you know, if you still don't like it, then so be it. So I took him up his offer. I missed my parents, so it was great. I flew home, spent the weekend, toured, came back, and I said, look, I'm in the middle of the season. I'm the recruiting coordinator, and that follows the season. So I can't even think about something until February. Late February. So I went back about my business, and this guy, there was something about him, something magnetic about him, just kept drawing me to him. And so I make a long story short, as when the season was over, I had a couple of other opportunities in coaching pop up. I was really conflicted about how, you know, to be loyal to Oklahoma State or should I go to someplace else. But this was still in my head about this guy, Charlie Idol. And to make a long story short, I made the decision to leave football and join this guy. And we were together for 12 years at two different companies. And
what did you end up doing for those companies?
So I started out in sales. They're both in the commercial carpet industry. I started out in sales and I had a very fortunate career, did well, and moved very quickly up into management. So I, you know, went from the typical thing, from sales to sales manager to national accounts to vice president to executive vice president. Then I became the president and CEO of a company called Interface Flooring Systems in LaGrange, Georgia, right about the time I was 31, something like that.
What were you doing in sales at that point? I mean,
selling commercial carpet. I mean, you're really.
So what kind of a volume, though, was this company?
Oh, this company was at that time a couple hundred million.
And you're 31. What's going on in your life that everywhere you show up, you just matriculate up?
I think, you know, I joke with my kids. My mother said, and I remember it vividly, you can do anything that you want to do. And the best answer I can give you is I believed her. It just, you know, I'm no more special than the next guy. I had literally how people touched my life all along the way that gave me hope and belief in myself. And I can't tell you how important it is, I think, in life to have those kind of people around you. It means everything.
31 years old, you're running a company that's doing few hundred million dollars a year. That's got to be pretty heady.
It was, you know, I didn't think of it that way at the time because you're so driven and you're, you know, I look back and think, wow, you know, it was, should have enjoyed that more. But it was a historic run. We had tremendous results. It was a very special time. And it really came down to people. We out-peopled the competition. And that became a real hallmark for, you know, hopefully my whole career, but it was to surround yourself with people that are smarter and better than you are to make it go faster.
So what happened after that?
Yeah, you know, as I said, that was a 12-year run, very grateful for it. But at the end of it, I really sort of had my fill of big corporate America. We were a public company. I was, you know, the CEO inside of a large public company, and I'd kind of had my fill of that. And so when that, you know, man, my buddy had since left. Charlie had gone on, and I decided really I wanted to do something different. I wanted to be back in sports and business. That was kind of my, over those 12 years, I'd always had in the back of my head, let's do something in sports and business. So I probably took a little bit of a radical leap. I literally walked out that door and started my own small sports marketing company. Around rodeo and NASCAR, because I'd always had this thing for the West, as you can tell, and we launched that in 2000. That company still exists today. It's called United States Cowboy, and we still own it and operate it. But
so you start with nothing with the rodeo and that marketing company.
It was stupid.
What was the first thing you did?
So the first thing I did was we really took over a failing rodeo association in the southeastern United States. And it was a association, so we turned it into a private company, and it was and we started sanctioning rodeos all throughout the Southeast. We knew nothing about it. I just again brought in people that knew more than I did, and we built up a pretty reputable company. And then as we were going through that process, we got invited to run a much larger tour that was a televised tour, and so we did that, and today we run an online network in that company for Wrangler jeans called the Wrangler Network, and it's a OTT live streaming. We live stream over 100 and something rodeos a year, and just, you know, but that's, fortunately I have people smarter than me that run that, but that's what that company does today. So
it looks like throughout your life somebody was sprinkling pixie dust on
dreams. It's true. I certainly can't take the credit. You know, I wasn't the best student. I'm not sure I was ever been the best at anything, but it was.
But I do think there's kind of a clue in what you said your mother told you about possibility,
yeah,
and the fact that you bought that. So how does he end up with Burt Reynolds? When we come back, you'll find out. This is Gordon Whitener. More in a moment on Anything Is Possible.
Anything is possible.
This episode of Anything Is Possible is brought to you by ProVision Cares Cancer Center. One call, one focus, cancer. Call 844-455-8600 for more information.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. These are great stories about great people like Gordon Whitener, whose lives prove that anything is possible. So you're running a major carpet company and you go, wait a minute, this corporate life is not all it's cracked up to be. I'll start my own thing. And so you jettison that career, you start another company, and it takes off. Do you think that was you, or do you think it was just maybe God blessing you?
Well, no question, God's blessed my life in so many ways, it's immeasurable. So it certainly wasn't me. It was, part of the leaving corporate America was the timing of it, which we didn't touch on before, was my wife Susie and I had just gone through divorces, and we were just coming together, and we had a blended family. I had a daughter, she had two sons. So part of it was I was sick of corporate America, and part of it was that I was sort of tired of that rat race, and I knew if we were going to try to blend these families, I needed to try to find something that I could do where I could be around more and I could control my own schedule. So all of this was coming together sort of at the same time. So when we built U.S. Cowboy, we were going along, doing fine, spending a lot of my own money. So when it got about 2 years into it, I said, I need to find some outside capital. So I started having some conversations about that, and that's what really led me to the parent company of Host Communications. They'd fallen on some hard times. They'd lost some big contracts, and so, long story short, after some discussions, they asked me would I move to Lexington, Kentucky and merge my company into theirs and run the company. So we did. We uprooted the family and moved to Kentucky, and it was a tremendous experience, but with both trials and tribulations, but again, a blessing. But 2 years into it, we'd made quite a pretty good turnaround, and I had a disagreement really with the board over where the company should go, and we decided to part ways in the summer of 2004, and it was another humbling experience, but a good one too, because it led to good stuff.
What happened after that?
So I loved sports and business, and we'd been in it at that point for 4 years, and so I'd really felt like we'd made a lot of good strides and a good name for our family and for the people that worked for me. So I tried to buy Host Communications first, and they rebuffed my offer. And while I was doing that, I'd met some bankers, and they told me about a company that Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft, was going to sell called Action Sports Media. And make a very long story short, I got in touch with them, and we made a deal, and I bought Action Sports Media. And Paul had all his stuff in Portland and Seattle, and I really had no intention of moving out there. But Action had a big presence here in Knoxville because of the Southeastern Conference, and Action owned and operated jumbotrons in some of the largest collegiate stadiums all over the country, but had a big presence here. So I made the headquarters here. We moved back to Knoxville after all those years, back from when I graduated from here in 1985, and so I'd been gone from here all that time. So we moved back here in the summer of 2005 and started running Action Sports Media with a private equity company as our backer. And we had a really nice run, and we sold the company 29 months later to a couple of strategic buyers. Everybody did pretty well. My investors, I think, did very well for them. And so we, at that point, I was left again with sort of, okay,
you got
time to turn a page.
Turn a page,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So how big was that deal?
The investors made two times their money in basically 29 months.
Good gracious.
So it was a good deal for everybody.
Who was Gordon Whitener, the man through all of this, though? Because success can mask life.
That's a good question. I think a guy that, you know, always wanted to do right by his parents and his friends, and certainly a guy that, you know, had made some mistakes, failed at things, you know, failed at marriage, failed at certainly in business, you know, from time to time. I was determined to be a great father to, you know, my children, and I don't call my stepson. I never called them that, and never will. They're my sons, and so it was just important for me to be a dad, and that was the fun part about the journey we've been on. Susie and I have been married, we'd be married 20 years in November, has been the blending of our families and just the journey that we've taken together. So I wanted to be the best example I could be. And I haven't always excelled at that, but that was the goal.
Gordon Whitener is my guest. Coming up on the next episode, part two, I would love to talk about what you learned from failure, and then two names, Burt Reynolds, T. Boone Pickens. How does all that come together? You'll find out next time on Anything Is Possible.